I understand that you would like me to talk about suffering and five skandhas. These are quite important topics. And I was reading the first sentence of the Heart Sutra. Those of you who are familiar with it, it goes this way, the very first sentence. When the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara was causing in a deep Prajna Paramita, we perceive that all five skandhas are empty, thereby transcending all suffering. Now you can see just from this one sentence the importance of understanding the five skandhas correctly, perceiving it not just conceptually, but experiencing it, realizing it as empty. That is the key. That is the key to transcending suffering. And so you see just in this sentence, five skandhas, suffering, the two important concepts here. And I'd like to first talk about suffering, because Dave is saying how in the material you're looking at, you're encouraged to look at things as suffering, but sometimes it's a struggle, it's difficult. Maybe it's the language that's used. So, suffering, most important topic or concept to understand. Not just a concept. That's what it is. Because for those of you, who are familiar with the first sermon given by the Buddha, the Four Noble Truths. Four Noble Truths, the very first one. Now, so it's like, this is the first one the Buddha taught. It's like, okay, I don't know if I should talk about this because no one will believe me. It's like, okay, I will talk about something. And that's what he finally decided to, like, that's really important to talk about. Right? Suffering. And the first one, there is suffering. There is suffering. And this is really important to take this first noble truth and really think about it. Why is Buddha telling us there is suffering? Because many people are like, okay, yeah, I know. Just tell me how to end suffering. Like, it's a drag. I'm here to try to get rid of suffering. No? It's like, that's what I'm here. So here, where is it? So, and then you hear there's the cause of suffering and there's cessation of suffering. That's what I want, number three. You know, like you're ordering a burger or something, number three. Just skip number one, number two, number three. No. There's a reason why. The first noble truth is there is suffering. Basically, Shakyamuni Buddha is saying, hey, First off the business, do you know there is suffering? No, I don't really see suffering. Maybe other people suffer, I don't suffer. Because if we do not recognize various ways we suffer, we will not believe that we need to practice. Isn't that the case? You sit here and meditate, it's like, I don't know why I'm doing this. Fall asleep, and then try to think about when this is going to end, or get really like upset that the knee hurts, and well, I don't know why I'm doing this, and then I don't really need to do this, I don't know, because you don't know why you're doing this, because you don't think you suffer, you do not recognize that there is suffering, the first noble truth, how pervasive it is. So a very important part of our practice is to really pay attention to our experience, to notice how much there is suffering. And then and it requires a correct understanding of what dukkha is. An incorrect understanding of dukkha as just being in agony all the time, of course, will lead us to think, but I don't suffer, I'm not suffering now because I'm not in agony. I would like to talk about the three kinds of suffering in the teaching of this particular concept. But before I do that, I want to talk about the second noble truth so that you can have that in your mind. The second noble truth is often referred to in English as the cause of suffering, right? The cause of suffering. This is where I think sometimes the language can get us stuck in something, because it's like, there is suffering and there's this cause of suffering. So now I know my enemy, cause of suffering. We're going to like wage war against this cause of suffering. And in our daily life, we may know, we may believe our cause of suffering is, I don't know, my boss, my annoying neighbor, my kid who wouldn't do what I tell them to do. And hopefully by now, you know they are not your actual cause of suffering, even though a lot of time you think they actually are the cause of suffering. No? Right? I know I'm Buddhist, you know, that my neighbor is not my cause of suffering. But it would be nice if they move away because they're really annoying. We actually believe the cause of suffering is outside things. As much as we read and study the Dharma, that no, that's not the cause of suffering. So the Chinese character for the second noble truth, one character means the coming together. The coming together of what? The coming together of what's going on, whatever is going on, whatever is going on. Of course, it's not random what's going on. What's going on is the result of past moment, right? Past causes that result in the present moment. So right now, this thing just happened. It involves what Dave writing me an email, and my email actually working, and I actually read the email, and all the work that go back and forth, and also we don't have a blizzard today, and we are in reasonably good health to turn up here, this present moment. But the second noble truth, this coming together that we call the cause of suffering, is the coming together of the present moment, what's going on, and klesha, vexation. So this is very important to keep in mind because it helps us see that suffering is not an inherently existing entity. It is the coming together of what's the present moment and klesha. And I often use the word vexation. The vexation, craving, aversion, fundamental ignorance. Basically, our vexatious reactivity to the present moment. Because without vexation, when whatever is happening, without our habitual reactivity of vexation, whatever is happening is just happening. No suffering. This is very different from the understanding that something's wrong here, what's happening. And so the third noble truth, cessation of suffering. It's not that suffering disappears. It's more like the coming together of the present moment, what's happening, and vexation, when we do not give rise to this habitual reactivity of vexation, then what's happening is just happening. So vexation does not arise, there's no suffering. And the Eightfold Path, which is the fourth noble truth, is about all about how we can release the habit, our very entrenched habit, very powerful habit of reacting to the present moment with vexation. They are so pervasive, we don't even know most of them. We may, if you know a few of them, very good, that means you've been practicing. We just act them out, moment after moment after moment. Suffering, 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 suffering. So with this understanding of the Four Noble Truths, let's take a closer look at suffering. Because the word, the translation of the word dukkha into this English word suffering lead us to believe that suffering is just this agony. Right? It is one kind of suffering. Dukkha, dukkha, suffering of suffering. That is what we can readily recognize. So some of you may are probably quite familiar with some discussion of suffering, examples of like sickness, old age, death, being separated from our loved ones, being stuck with people we don't like, not being able to get what we strive for. Has that happened to us? So now, these are common experiences of being a human. And if we do not understand how suffering is brought about, we might think that we're doomed. That's what happens when we are being a human being. We get sick, we grow old, we all die, and we often get separated from our loved one. But these things by themselves are not suffering. These are all part of life. We turn them into suffering by reacting with vexation. The body is getting older. It's a natural part of a body. Or sometimes it gets sick, does not feel so good. We are all too familiar with this in the last few years, but even without a pandemic, we sometimes get flu, we all may have some chronic health condition. That is part of having a body. It's not a problem. We turn them into one by hating the fact that the body gets sick sometimes. Hating the fact that sometimes the body does not do what we want it to do. No? Have you got sick a little bit and so annoyed? It's like you still want to be able to, you know, do all the work you have put on your to-do list, and now you could barely do the first one on the list. You're so upset. Hate it. The body is just doing its thing, trying to heal itself. Actually, when we have a fever and have aches and pain, it's basically the body making us rest so that it can heal. I'm so glad my body makes me do that. Otherwise, I'd probably be dead by now. From time to time, it's like, okay, you rest. Otherwise, that to-do list never ends. We hate it. Actually, the body is doing its job to keep us alive a little longer by having these symptoms that forces us to rest so that it can heal. And the body getting a little bit older, we hate it. No? And our society encourages us. Something's wrong with you. You're getting older. There's nothing wrong, actually. It's pretty normal. That's what happens When you live around long enough, you're lucky to live long enough to feel the age. And but we hate it. That's the suffering. That's the suffering from aging. And last year, when I was spending a lot of time at Zen Center for my research, I met a Zen teacher, and she's a senior teacher. She's retired from her position, and she told me, "Actually, Rebecca, you know how women become invisible when we get older, and which is really good because nobody bothers us anymore. We can be, we have more freedom to do whatever we want. You know, no one's telling you constantly what you should do and should not do." And so I was like, "Yeah, this is great. See, aging is not inherently suffering. We turn it into one. We turn it to suffering by reacting to it with vexation." And so we can look at how much we cause our suffering by giving rise to vexation. Oftentimes with suffering or suffering usually is aversion. When we have difficult, challenging experiences, either because of aging or sickness, or losing a loved one to death. Very challenging, difficult, very, very challenging, difficult experience. Lots and lots of grief and sadness. And if we work really hard for something and we didn't get it, we may work really hard for promotion, but we didn't get it. Deep, deep disappointment. Yes, very painful. These emotions are normal. If we love someone a lot, that person dies. Yes, pain. Because we are human. We have a heart. That is not the suffering itself. It's our hating that we have to feel that. So being able to understand this correctly is crucial, because these emotions of grief, deep sadness, conditioned by what's happening. And they, in the beginning, very, very powerful, very strong. And oftentimes they begin to fade after some time if we do not identify with them, turn them into suffering. Although they might show up occasionally, so many people have shared with me the grief to show up. Again, yes. But then they don't stay. But we can turn them into suffering by hating that they are here. So this is suffering of suffering, like the challenging experiences of having body living in relationship. And I hope you can understand that pain does not equal suffering. Yes, physical pain, emotional pain that we experience as human beings, but it is our reacting to it with aversion, thinking that this should not happen, I hate it. That is the suffering. And the other kind of suffering, suffering of change. Like, I think that's where many people find it difficult to understand the teaching of their suffering. Because what if everything's fine? I'm actually, you know, Everything's going well, you know, like things are great at work, things are great at home, you know, everyone's happy. Where's the suffering? I don't, this is, Buddha, you're overdoing it. Like, where's the suffering? It's like, well, when we are experiencing something, it's a very pleasant situation, right? Either when things are going well in life, or we are in a situation where it's just so wonderful. Right? Maybe you're on vacation with someone you really enjoy being with, or you, today is Monday, right? Like during the weekend, you're away from work doing just fun things, you know? Don't need to think about work if you're those lucky people. Then this is amazing. If we do not recognize that everything is impermanent, we assume and want what this wonderful moment to last forever, no? It's like dessert, it's like, this is great, especially like things are going well, work's going well, you know, I'm healthy, my relationship's great. I don't even like this, fingers crossed. So when inevitably causes and conditions change, someone in our relationship, something changed with them. They lose their job, they lose their health, they get depressed. You get depressed. Who knows what happened? We suffer. We think this is not supposed to be happening. When this is what happens, things are constantly changing. But we believe that when things are going well, this is it. We want to hold on to it. We want to hold on. And then the teaching about impermanence. I know everything is impermanent, but not this. I am the exception, you know. Maybe you have your thing. I meditate every day. I made a deal with Buddha, you know. I'm exempt. This is good. I've arrived. I find a way to be happy. There's nothing wrong with being happy. When things are going well, we fully enjoy it. But is that what we do? Very often, when things are going well, we want it, we want more. We hope this will last longer. Crave for more. Or begin to worry that it will end. The Sunday afternoon, oh, the weekend is almost over. The Sunday afternoon blue. The weekend is not over yet, but you already ended it. Suffering. It's change. Change is inevitable. Our resistance to this true nature of reality, suffering. But then, and so being this way, we find ourselves okay when things are not going well. We hate it. When things are going well, we crave for it to be long, to last, and then hate it when you change. Suffering. Things are challenging. Suffer. Things are going good. We suffer. Now you know why the Buddha said there is suffering. You just need to see it. It's not inevitable. That's why there's a third noble truth. That's the main discovery by Buddha. It's like there is suffering. The way we are so habituated to react to the present moment. Oh, that's why there's suffering. But we don't have to. We don't have to. perpetuate these habitual tendencies. Not easy, but we all can do that. Isn't that what we're doing here in the practice? So the third kind of suffering. The third kind of suffering, and I think maybe that's what Dave, you were pointing to, is like, sit here, it's like, I can't see what is the suffering here. And the pervasive suffering, that's the third kind of suffering. Pervasive suffering is this, even though there's nothing obviously problematic, you're not, you know, things are fine, and you're just sitting here. And then, but there's this subtle, or sometimes not so subtle, nagging sense that whatever is happening is not good enough. Whatever is happening is not how it's supposed to be. Does it sound familiar? Does anyone say, oh, I never think that. It's just kind of this ease. Something's missing. Something's not good enough. You can't put your finger onto what it is. I just feel like something's not okay. Something he is not okay. Most importantly, something with me is not okay. No? Something's not okay with me, my life. Pervasive suffering. Pervasive suffering. And this pervasive suffering is intimately related to our not being able to see that the five skandha is empty. The first sentence. Hot Sutra. Do you think it's time for a break? So I'm holding you in suspense. We will come back to talk about the five skandha. We'll take a short break. We'll return for the five skandha.